This is a HeadGum Podcast.
All right, it's the Two Old Queens Oscar special, but before I get you guys there, I just want to do a quick little plug. This coming Tuesday, X amount of nights away, four or five, whatever it is 420, and I will be hosting a 420 mega sesh in the vein of the Power Hour, but, you know, hopefully a little safer and way less coughing, as I have former Stony Bony guests from High and Mighty come on and have a mega sesh. So do yourself a favor. Get yourself a ticket at onlocationlive.com/Gabrus420 or headgum.com/live or literally any one of my social media platforms. You can check it out there. We've got Abdullah and Bean from Great Moments in Weed History, Mike and Mary Jane from Weed and Grub, Besser from Smoke Me Up podcast, Sean Distin from The Future is Female Splinter t-shirts. I got tons great. The Two Old Queens, the guests of this episode, are also on the 420 live stream. Get yourself a ticket, throw it on your computer, your TV, burn one down with a group of people who are going to be having a classic High and Mighty chats about different topics while getting stoned to that mother effing bone. Please join us, won't you? That's me stealing from my favorite, Karina Longworth. onlocationlive.com/Gabrus420. The 420 mega sesh. See you there. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, standing 6'2", 293 pounds from Nassau County, Long Island. That's the South Shore. Johnny G,
the number one fuckboy. All you gotta do is trust me, Jackson Maine.
Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host Arthur Gabrus, actually present for a record because it's the evening, and in the evening the office smells like marijuana, and when it smells like marijuana, who comes a knocking? The DEA Boston Terrier, Arthur Gabrus. I'm still talking, and I will end soon. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios virtually via Zoom, they had their young grandsons come over and set them up on Zoom so they could finally talk to me from their vacation home in Fire Island. It's who you think it is. It's Oscar season, baby. We got Mark Rennie and John Flynn, the Two Old Queens.
Hello.
Hello.
Honestly, we should just, your intro, way more succinct and hits a little harder for
Warren
me.
Warren Pace is a little more succinct than your intro.
Yes, exactly. Also, they weren't our grandsons, they were our nephews. We don't have grandkids.
Guys, thank you so much for coming back to do this.
Of course. Where would I rather be?
Who would I rather talk about movies I half remember with than you?
Exactly.
Perfect.
Excitement's in the air. Why?
What a year. What a season.
What a year.
Oh, the glitz, the glam.
When I look back on 20, I'm going to think of the movies.
Yes.
Yes. Did you have, a lot of we'll talk a lot about these movies. Let's just get right into Best Picture because I think that'll just introduce a bunch of dialogue about a different movies, which is something Mark pitched right before we started recording. So I'm saying that to give you credit, but your reaction was as if I
was dissing.
It
sounded like an attack.
I'm sorry.
An accusation.
I meant it like this may sound like a good idea.
Mark is a bossy bottom. So here's what we're doing.
Better than being a terrible top.
Indeed.
Timid top and a bossy bottom. He's a timid top.
Tail is all
he's
the time.
A bossy bottom, but they're both working advertising.
Neil Simon did it again.
Let's get right into Best Picture. So we have all the movies you remember seeing, all the premieres, all the big...
All the step and repeats.
Yeah, all the step and repeats. All the time at Man's Chinese Theater seeing these movies together with the Hollywood elite. I'll run through all the names and we can go back and start talking about them through. But we got The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Mank, Minari, Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, and The Trial of the Chicago Seven.
One thing I'll say about this list
I was about to say, you guys got confused because I went to open the door to let Arthur on. You guys, I was like, thought maybe that would kick off some conversation. I turn around. That is the, and this is maybe the first time we've done this that I've seen every Best Picture rolling into. I usually have seen it by the Oscars.
Right.
But this, in this case, I've seen the every Best Picture.
Because they're all on a streaming platform for them.
Oh, you had plenty of time, too.
Yeah.
Right. They're all on a streaming platform, and they're the 9 of the 15 movies that came out.
I looked at my letterbox and what were the movies just I saw? What are the 2020 movies I saw? And this is three quarters of them. Yeah.
I pretty much saw any movie that was having a semi big release, even if it was the expensive.
Love a semi big release.
Oh, semi big.
I like a semi-big full release for sure.
Sure, sure. When you want your money's worth.
That's me ordering a massage. I'll take a semi-big full release.
A half release is wait, I'll cut myself off.
No. You know what? I should go.
I'll save it for the wife. Yeah. These are all movies, sure.
These are all objectively movies.
The only bad ones, I would say, are Mank and Trial of Chicago 7.
Okay.
I would say those are definitely my least favorite. I don't think there's any movie on here that's bad.
I'd say Trial of Chicago 7 is a good episode of The Good Fight, but without any women.
Sure. I mean, it's classic Aaron Sorkin, which means I don't care for it, but I don't think it was horrible. I don't think it's going to win.
No, it's entertaining, but it's pointless. Who
cares? Yeah. Mank and Chicago 7 were my least favorite of those two, but I didn't dislike them either for almost the same reasons. Mank I enjoyed because... And again, this is hyper specific, but those are two worlds that I just love, is Hollywood and legal thrillers are my two, I love, I'm obsessed
those
with
two locations. Yes.
Yeah. Those are my two locations in my brain, but they're, so The Trial of Chicago 7 scratched even though it was God knows how wrong it was and how Sorkinized it was, but it's lefty politics and a courtroom thriller in one.
You know what you need? You need a movie about John Landis being on trial for the Twilight Zone deaths. That's your perfect movie.
It's called The Morrow War.
Yeah. Heads will roll.
We're calling to the stand a character witness for Mr. John Landis, his son Max Landis. Yikes! Bad character. But I like The Trial of Chicago 7 felt like those blockbuster movies that they used to make that were the 18th best movie that came out that year. Right. But it was, you recognize every single actor, and it's a huge swing in some
the
dumb
crazy
way.
Thing
dads
about
love
the end,
it. Yeah.
When they start at the end of The Trial of Chicago 7, when they start reading the list of all the dead soldiers, and the crowd goes nuts, they're they a World Series. Yeah. They're pumping their fists. I don't think that's the tone of reading a list of dead
room,
soldiers.
Guys.
That's definitely not how it went down on the day.
It's imagine what a baseball game is like.
Yeah,
but Sacha Baron Cohen was fun.
Yeah, I thought he was great. I mean, he got to play the most fun person also.
Right.
And I like Mark Rylance in everything.
How do you not like Mark
Rylance? Oh, yeah, he's great.
Yeah. And you really hate the judge. The judge, you really hate the judge by the end of that movie. It really works.
Now, one person called him a bitch. What a missed opportunity.
You bitch.
You bitch. I heard Black is Slimming, but jury's out.
The father was my homework disc. You know, that was the one that sat there the longest. And then when it got nominated, I was like, all right, I guess I'm watching. You know what? My friend Jason, he was like, oh, we watched The Father last night and it was amazing. I'm like, oh, really? And he's like, it's really good. And I was like,
you were disappointed?
It was in my, I then watched it. I was like, oh my God, what? But in my head, it was The Wife. You know what I mean? It was like,
yeah, sure.
It was just like the movie that was like, we like this because Hopkins is in it. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, this is really like The Father.
I thought The Father was great.
And it turns out it was really great. I really enjoyed it.
A thriller.
And it is really good because Hopkins is great in it.
Yeah.
Right?
He's great.
That reminded me, watching The Father reminded me this is kind of the mind-bendingness of it is this is what Christopher Nolan would do if he had empathy.
Right. If he internalized any of his thoughts,
if he cared about characters at all.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not just plot.
Yeah. If he cared more about the inner workings of the human machine rather than a temporal pinza movement.
The thing that's wrong with Tenet, I'll tell you, is that hallway fight is bullshit. It's the lamest. That's supposed to be like almost the centerpiece of the movie, the hallway fight, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not exciting to look at. It's confusing. No. There's
it's
no
very
tension.
Confusing.
Yeah.
You don't really understand what you're seeing, and you don't care.
I got to say, I feel dumb saying this, but I rewatched. I don't feel dumb. I feel
ashamed.
Sort of. To myself, to on the nose or whatever, I rewatched Tenet and I loved it.
Did you not like it after you watched it the first time?
I didn't. I was like, oh, that was fun. I didn't care for it after I watched it the first time. And then on rewatching it the second time, I was like, oh, I really like this movie. And I don't know why.
Well, I was wondering when I watched it once and I didn't really care for it, but I thought, I wondered what it would be like to watch this movie and not constantly be trying to figure it out.
Exactly. And that's, I think that's.
And so I wonder if watching it again, you'd be like, since I know.
But even then, I feel like.
As specific as it is. You know what I mean? Like, I think it ultimately is, there's a little bit of like time travel, mumbo jumbo, mumbo jumbo, mumbo jumbo. And you just have to, once you accept, like, oh, it's not going to get deeper than that, then you can enjoy it.
But even like the big set pieces, I don't think were particularly exciting. Like seeing a big jumbo jet slowly go into a hangar, it was just like an episode of Mythbusters. There wasn't like no tension or anything. It was just like, that's what that would look like, I guess.
But the tension was like all the yacht stuff that I
who
now
cares. It's just like bad 80s like Bond movies. It's like
Mark, we all know you hate us.
In a lost amazing genre of movies. Sorry, Mark.
In terms of the sexual politics, like she was just a terrible poorly written character.
Oh, the women were poorly written in this movie?
It makes you long for the highs of Maggie Gyllenhaal in Dark Knight. That's when you have problems.
Yeah, that was his feminist like big touch. I gotta say, because I was looking through Rob Pattinson's IMDb because I like him so much. And then I was like, oh, he was okay in Tenet. And then I was like, let me watch it again to see how he does in Tenet.
For Pattinson.
Because I like him so much. And I love Washington, too. He's so good. Like, I like those guys so much. And the movie was so medium for me. And then on this rewatch, I really dug it way more that I do think it did help to like.
Pay attention to the scarves.
It was more like I understood like.
Did you know it's about the scarves?
I understood like where the movie took place in the timeline of like how they were coming in two different directions, and it was way better the second time.
But who cares? But for what purpose? What did it amount to? Nothing.
Mark, please, we don't need your nihilism. None of this amounts to anything.
That's why I didn't like it. That's me.
But all right, so let's talk some of these other.
Okay.
I Judas and the Black Messiah. I loved.
I loved it.
I would not put it for best picture because I think there are better movies in it. But I think hands down, those are maybe your two best actors.
I was so happy it made it in best picture. I loved it so much. I had so much fun watching this movie.
I thought it was great, but it is weird that it's like if you made a movie about Harvey Milk and like half the characters was like half the story was told through Dan White's point of view.
Yeah.
Because like the takeaway is like, oh, what a tough life
it was hard on
the turncoat hat. Yeah, a tough life. Like, should that be our takeaway from the Fred Hampton story? Like, what a sad life the rat had.
Imagine how hard it was for the guy who ratted him out.
Yeah,
if you think it's bad to get killed, well,
right. But it was exciting to see these progressive politics in like a mainstream movie.
We want to talk. I felt the same way about Trial of Chicago 7. It's like scratching, like, I love to see that shit. And when sure. when we get to documentaries and talk about Crip Camp, I'll say the same thing. It's been fun to see movies that have, that feature like quote unquote radical.
Not models.
Yeah. Yeah. what
are
people's favorites? What are people's guesses to win or their own personal favorites?
Personally,
I think Nomadland is going to win, and I think it should win. For me, I think that one was the best. That's the one that, of this whole list, I would love to go back and see in a theater, which isn't like the way to judge necessarily.
You want to hear that, Nomadland? You want to hear that Bucky shitting and full Dolby
surround
sound.
I really
want to
get back
sound.
into that those... urinals getting clean.
I want to see McDormand's bush on the big screen.
Yeah.
The way it was meant to be seen.
You know me, exactly.
The only way you should see the Francis bush.
Where's the 4D experience of a No Man Land? One
that blows hair in your face.
Yeah, clean. It smells like a restroom, public restroom being cleaned. Cool.
Yeah. Perfect.
I love you, Minari. Mark? I love Nomadland.
I love both. If Minari or Nomadland or Sound of Metal won, I would be. I would have no issues. I think those are the three strongest. I think my personal favorite is either this is hard because I'm like I loved Sound of Metal, but my personal favorite is maybe Promising Young Woman.
Interesting. Gabriel's progressive.
Wow.
Despite my fan base, the listeners and the host base here might be triggered by most of that movie. I think we texted Rennie and I said like the straight white guys dancing at the beginning of the movie was so triggering. It's like, oh my God, that was so, we're like, we're cool. We're dancing. Chicks love this shit. And it's just like, oh my God. And
your khaki glory. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I never wore khakis. I never wore pants.
No,
it's a shorts guy.
That movie was like it was like reminded me of Parasite, and just in terms of like it could have gone any direction, and I would have been on board. Like in the last 30 minutes, like she could have come back as an angel of death with Uzis, and I would have been sure.
They completely fucking had me. I was into that whole movie, but the second she walks up that shot of her walking up the hill towards the house while the orchestral Toxic is playing, which I loved. Yeah. That fucking needle drop as she's walking up. I was, that movie could have been 4 hours from then on. like you're saying, Mark, I was along for the ride. I was locked the fuck. Bo Burnham is so good as cute and like, what's creepy up with this motherfucker?
We're waiting for, there's something not quite right about him.
Yeah.
Oh, that was before I saw the movie.
I've been saying that since I saw eighth grade.
Guitar humor? I don't think so. Unplug that microphone.
He's one of those dudes that like you want to hate because he had like, excuse me, he was young and successful. And then you're like, then he directs a movie and it's amazing. And then he directs Chris Rock stand-up special. And you're like, excuse me.
All right.
You're like, all okay. Right. Okay, fine, you're good. I'm fine, sorry fine. I wrote that off.
That's this how I may about- come as a big shock to you, but I've never pursued any of Bo Burnham's work.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That might
eighth
be.
Grade's a great movie.
I'm sure it's great.
You haven't seen Eighth Grade?
I haven't. I lived it. What do I need to see it for?
Good point. It is basically your story.
But in this eighth grade, the schools aren't segregated.
Oh, well, that's very progressive.
I lived it. I was an eighth grade girl struggling with my budding sexuality.
Where's the scene where they pass out the iron pills to the children?
How come no one's afraid of the communists?
Yeah. But I love the scene in Promising Young Woman, the scene with Connie Britton, where it's like, what a great little perfect like playlet of a scene where the scene starts. Bad. You think it's, and it ends with Connie Britton yelling at her, where's my daughter? I'm like, no, it's that's a scene hardwired for my brain.
Yeah. Right. I thought the Alison Brie scene was incredible.
Yes. Oh, was she at the restaurant?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. And then when she comes,
like, every scene was like, it starts this one way and you're like, okay, it's this, and then you're going, I did not know this turn was coming.
Yes.
It definitely has that.
Yeah, and it was just a real surprising. It was one of those movies that you were like, fuck, this is, how did this get made? Like, not in like the podcast way, but in like, holy
like
shit,
a troll
this
too.
Is dope.
Right, you can't this wait to hear Jason Manzuka's take on this movie is what you're saying.
Dude, it's bonkers. It's bananas or whatever he said. I don't even remember.
My head literally exploded.
Bonkers has lost all meaning.
Yeah.
I love Sound of Metal.
Sound
it
of Metal
me
was great.
Almost in a same way as Green Room, where like the band stuff is like so good.
Yes,
like before
yes,
the movie even starts, like you're still just invested in like this band and like the band
and, like,
was
like the griminess
cool.
of the band. Yeah, yeah, and you were like, oh, it didn't feel like in a movie where another art is being performed or portrayed.
Yeah,
and it always feels wonky. You know
that's why
mean?
You like, had a big problem with Ghost when they make the clay.
Yeah, like, as a Potter
this
son,
is not right.
That broke my fucking mind. Disrespectful. I haven't seen Punchline, and I refuse to watch Godzilla vs. Kong because I hear Brian Tyree Henry plays a podcaster.
It's true.
It's true.
But no, they lose all credibility when a teenager listens to a podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't make that much
no.
sense.
No. Uh-uh. I believe the center of the earth, but I don't believe this.
It was great to hear Kyle Chandler say, "Stop listening to that podcast. It's rotting your brain." In a mega big budget movie. It was like, hell yeah.
We've made it.
We are rotting brains.
We're the new comic books. Gifts.
Where was the sunlight coming from in the center of the earth?
I have no
reflections.
Idea.
The Supreme song, I wish.
Exactly.
But did you find, after I saw Sound of Metal, I did have this thing of like, I do need to find moments of serenity.
Dude, seriously.
And I was true. I was like, I don't think I do that. I don't think I pursue that.
No.
You're always on your phone. We're surrounded by screens all day. It's hard to find those times to unplug.
There was a lot. That movie hit me hard. Like, imagining losing, I read earlier in the quarantine, like, a woman who was a chef lost her sense of taste from COVID and it
or
had
smell,
been six
yeah,
months
so
or
tough,
smell
yeah.
or something like that. And they hadn't gotten it back in 6 months. And that really hit me. And then seeing this like drummer who's just, they're just about to break. Like, it's so realistic to me to hear the guy say, like, to hear him say, like, we just do the tour. We just finish the tour. And it's most starving artist shit in the world where it's like,
right.
I have like something's wrong with my body, but it's like there's four more days and I can get $450 if I just stick it out, you know? And right. It was just felt too, it was so real. And then the dude who's nominated for Best Supporting, Paul, I forget his name and the character's name, but the head of the housing,
the school
community.
Thing,
Yeah.
He's so fucking good. He's so right? good. He's like absolutely touching from minute zero, and he's and he never feels inauthentic.
No,
it feels
Paul Racy.
You end up feeling, in hindsight, insane how much that man worked. Like for me, after the movie, I was like, that guy had me. And I feel duped in some way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I felt like, check my wallet. Because he had, like, whatever this dude was doing, like, I was just caught up in it. The character specifically, his attitude towards everything and his vibe was just, like, it was so,
there's something in a weird way where I thought Sound of Metal at times felt like a documentary.
Yes.
And I think it's because of, like, his performance. Or, like, right, that level of performance from people.
Me and Tiffany were immediately like, oh, they must be filming this at a real one of these things, whatever this thing is.
You can't just find a house anywhere.
No,
right. And I was like,
that.
And it's like, he must actually run it. This is great. Oh, because we had also, watched
Nomadland.
The week. He was like, oh, yeah. So, okay, cool.
Everyone's doing it.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's cheaper. These fucking scumbags, Amazon, saving a couple of bucks.
And then you saw the Invisible Man. Like, they must really have that suit. How else would you do this?
Well, while we're talking about Nomadland, John, that's your pick for.
I think it probably will win, and that would get my vote if I had to vote.
Yes, I would be. My voting would be. I'd be torn. I'd have to overthink my voting between the three that I referred to earlier. But if Nomadland wins, I'm like, yeah, of course. And if Chloe Zhao wins for best director of course.
You're not going to riot in the streets.
No.
Yeah. No. And if Minari or Sound of Metal win, I'll be like, yeah, great. You know.
Ultimately, it's all meaning. Like, who gives a fuck? The Oscars are stupid and pointless anyways, though. So anything could win and nothing matters.
Right.
Green Book won.
So
the world
I guess
kept
this
spinning.
Podcast is over now. So we're done?
I just want the record to state that the Oscars are stupid and pointless.
Mark, you were really let down by Hollow Earth. Your nihilism is rampant.
What's the point of it? So we're being buried closer to the Earth?
Minari, I fucking... loved Minari.
I loved it.
It was great.
Tiffany used to work on The Walking Dead way back in the day, so we spent a lot of time in Comic-Con with Steven, and he's like such a good, nice person in real life, name dropping. Like I haven't talked to him in fucking 6-7 years. But
no, you're close.
Since he started being very successful. But I like he's such an amazing person. We were so rooting for him. And then this movie ends up being like absolutely magnificent.
Right.
And you're like, oh, what a dream to send that text message of like, hey, you do deserve an Oscar. Like, hell yeah. Wow. I don't have to lie at all. It was fucking absolutely stellar.
Well, I'm rethinking all the supportive texts you've given me.
Yeah. You can tell when he means it.
It's never. I'm always supportive, but also always want to make fun of whatever's happening.
I thought it was almost like Spielbergian in a way. You know
yes,
what I mean? It's just
it was like
a big
Amblin.
American epic sweep.
It was kind of Amblin. Like it was.
It's all through the eyes of the kid, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I will say, prestige dramas have broken my brain a little bit in that we're watching, because now we don't watch trailers or anything anymore. Like if we know we're going to just see a movie, it's like, we'll just watch it.
We'll just watch the movie. Right.
Yeah. And then we'll be totally like, just sit there. And it's like, but we're watching Minari and we're like, this guy's not going to like molest this kid. Is he like everything?
Oh, no.
Like, you know, your like brain is like, oh my God. Right. It's an Oscar bait movie. Is it like,
how and then dark you're like, is this movie?
Yeah. And that's
is this a thriller?
Like, oh, and then like the religious guy shows up and you're like, fuck, he's going to, oh, And then at the end of it, it was like this moment of like white privilege realization where it's like, no, the Korean immigrant experience is difficult and intense enough to warrant
on
a dramatic movie. Yeah.
Yes.
It does not need any of these things you keep thinking is going to happen because it's, and I'm like, oh, right. It's absolutely fucking, and it was a period piece that I think lends it into the Spielbergian world a little bit too. Mm. And it felt so real, and then the characters felt like larger than life and real at the same time. Like the grandma and the little boy were just so good and kind
True Detective of season 3, those two.
Yeah.
Fuck yes, dude. Season 4. I do four. Love season
3. I don't count season 3, thank you.
Wait, you don't like season 3?
I never saw it. I saw the first season, that was enough.
Well, skip 2, I did really like 3. What's his name? Fucking Dorf is great.
Stephen Dorf?
Stephen Dorf is one of the two
not
guys.
Not the Tim Conway character.
No.
He's busy golfing. I forget where it was. We were recently doing a bit about how Dorf was canceled because they revealed, like, they found out his shoes were on his knees. It was like stolen valor and shit.
Stolen valor.
I want to hear what did you guys think of Mank?
It was like the least essential David Fincher movie.
I would say
Alien 3 is better than Mank, more interesting.
Yes. I will never rewatch Mank.
Never.
I may rewatch Alien 3.
I will definitely rewatch Alien 3 at some point. The assembly cut, thank you very much. But Mank was just like Dullesville. Like it was fine watching it, but I was like, I don't know what the takeaway of this was. Yeah, I guess this drunk guy was talented and he had part of Citizen Kane. Good for him.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it. Like I was
no,
just like, oh,
exactly.
That was fun. And I'm a Fincher fucking bro or whatever, you know what I mean? Like I like all his movies.
I think it's Fincher bro, they call it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fincher bro. Well, I'm a Christopher Brolin and a Fincher oh, Pincher.
Nice.
Fincher Pincher. Okay. There we go.
So there you go.
A Wachowski Chachki. That's I'm all them. I'm who you think I am.
Yeah, but I think ultimately Mank is just a good excuse to rewatch Citizen Kane.
Yeah. Right. You're like watching it, you're like, let's put on Citizen Kane.
Yes.
Which is like, it's an homage to and a story adjacent to the best, one of the best movies ever. Okay.
Which maybe speaks to the power of Mank, because when is the last time anyone said, let's put on Citizen Kane? Which is a great movie, but
it never feels essential.
No,
it never feels like
now is
time
the
to
time.
Watch.
Now is the time for Citizen Kane.
I saw it in film class where it was meant to be seen.
Yeah, right, exactly. I watched it over 3 periods. did we not talk about anything in particular from any of the best? Did we get your official choice? Rennie?
Oh, yeah. I forget.
Me? Mark, well, I don't ultimately care, but I guess
yeah,
either.
Yeah, let's throw that umbrella
yes,
out
no,
there.
Nothing matters. We don't
care. Let's throw the umbrella out there.
Yeah. Yes.
Mark, take the barrel out of your mouth and just tell us which one of the movies you liked.
When you said that, I thought root beer barrel when you first said
it. What am I saying? He's been hiding those candies nonstop.
I thought you maybe had saw me last night chugging root beer in the street shirtless.
This bark's got bite. I will probably say either Minari, Nomadland, or Sound of Metal. Those are the movies that, like, after I saw them, they, like, stayed with me the most.
Yes,
especially
for sure.
Minari. That one, like, haunted me in a weird way. And Sound of Metal, too, really. So probably those two, and then Nomadland third. But they're all, like, none of these are an outright, like, terrible movie. There's no, like, Green Book here, you know?
Right, right.
Exactly.
Nomadland also, something... And a few things have done this to me recently, and it's a new sensation, but like Nomadland hit it the clearest, I thought, where it was like so depressing and so upliftingly hopeful at the same time.
Well, like the American dream has been destroyed. So what's next?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's kind of like, what are
it
we
It is kind of
here?
Like the American dream is no more, but what
we're
is
still
your
going
dream?
On. So
yeah,
what is
yeah,
it?
But yeah. We're still in America. We got to come up with a fucking new dream. And like, the attitudes of some of those people and like how cool, like, you know, how they were like the positive people, the people who are like, yeah, my life hit the skids and this is what I'm doing now. And other people are like just tired of the grind and this is what I'm doing now. And it was just like that intersection where they can both meet in the same place and find comfort and commonality between each other as they're all both on like different paths in life. It's like just like Tenet, really.
Okay.
God. All right. Jesus.
Can't wait to get the best visual effects. I'm going off on Tenet. Yeah.
They were serviceable.
They were actually not that thrilling as far as
they were
the
fun. Yeah. Right? Would you want to live, like, do that Nomadland? I wonder if there's going to be, like, Nomadland, like, experiences that, like, you know, Instagrammers can do, like, over the summer.
I mean, isn't that what Burning Man is?
There is like a hipster van life movement. There is like a, unfortunately, because of the way society and the economy has turned, I live in a van now. But then I do also think there's a lot of like, I'm a 28-year-old freelancer. And for me, it's like,
this
do I
want
to own a home? Yeah. It's like, right. No, like I know like a couple that like was like, we bought property in Santa Barbara and we're eventually going to build a house on it, but they've been living in like a van on the property and they're like, it's actually kind of cool. You know, it's like, but like shit like that is like, I could see that becoming, and I think it is becoming a thing. I think we're going to see it more and more like the vibe, especially after this quarantine where you were like, I couldn't go to places and you're like,
right.
But if I had a van that I could like camp in that way, I didn't have to like take a tent out everywhere. I could just like go to the beach somewhere and like, you know, I can go
hang out there for a week. Yeah.
Yeah. I can go to a park and I can go to a lake. I can go to a campsite. I could do all these things. And then you're like, I could drive cross country. All of a sudden it felt kind of freeing in a year that felt enclosed. So I guess what I'm saying is Nomadland also magically came out at the perfect,
the
year.
Perfect time.
I felt like, yeah.
So you got to be pumped for the Eternals now then.
Well, truly. Well, what's, Chloe's first movie, the movie before, like The Runner or something.
The Writer.
The Writer. I'm like, I got to go back and watch. I've never seen that. Now I want to see
it either. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's thrilling that she got The Eternals. I'm like, that's so cool.
All right. And the screenwriter of Emerald Fennell is like doing the next, like, some DC property.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
I don't know which one. Like Harley Quinn 2 or something.
Probably the next Birds of Prey.
Like, yeah.
Something like that.
That would be me. Perfect. Stereotyping, I guess, is the word.
Wow. She can't do Poison. She can't do Bane, the movie.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to Best Director. We got Thomas Vinterberg for Another Round. We got Fincher for Mank. We got Lee Isaac Chung for Minari. Chloe Zhao for Nomadland and Emerald Fennell for Promising Young Woman.
I didn't see Another Round.
I have not seen that one either.
I started it today and I got, I'm about an hour in and I'm really liking it.
And
it's well directed. That's the guy. Vinterberg has done a bunch of movies that have like crossed over to America, right?
Did he I believe
Force Majeure or whatever?
I believe he did. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And The Square or some shit. If
hope he's not listening.
I don't know if it should win. Again, I would be. I don't think Mank should win.
No.
No.
But I'd be happy with Minari, Nomadland, or Promising Young Woman. Maybe Promising Young Woman, definitely not a movie of Minari and Nomadland's like stature in Best Picture, but Emerald Fennell potentially could win for Best Director because it's like a real vision, the movie. It's like a real.
It was like Tarantino. It reminded me like Tarantino, yes. Kind of like it was so exciting. I didn't know what was going to happen. Just the Roman numerals. When you see the first one, I was like, "What's this one? What does this mean?" Like I didn't know that they were. Been doing these hash marks the whole movie, I didn't put it together that those were hash marks until they got crossed off. And then I was like, "Oh, this is amazing! The line, the typography paid off."
But yeah, Mark, I had not heard anyone say that, and that is probably what I love so much about Promising Young Woman, that it did remind me of a Tarantino movie. It had like its own world, its own style, its own like,
yeah,
its own like vibe, and then like it was very music. It was, you know, badass female protagonist,
and it's funny, but then gets like really intense and dark too. Like the tone is kind of, it shifts.
The tone is all over the place. Way. Yeah, that's really fucking cool. Yeah, I didn't think of it like that. That is what I liked about it. My best director is, I'm going to go with Emerald Fennell.
What about
y'all? Yeah.
I'm going with Chloe Zhao. I just thought Nomadland was such a, I don't know, I've got such a boner for that movie.
It's
okay, John. That's
it's
like
beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's part of what's crazy too, is that it's like, this is how sad life in America can get, but don't forget, right, you're always in picturesque America. Yes. You know what I mean? It's like
purple rolling hills.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And there's something,
I forget how that song
and
goes.
And there's something
like that. Purple rolling hills. Yeah.
Juxtaposing shitting in a bucket to like the beautiful in a Walmart parking lot to the Rockies in the back is a very much an American, like a real,
I guess if you have to shit in the bucket, it might as well be in the Rockies.
Right?
Fuck yeah, dude. If I'm going to shit in a bucket,
exactly.
Baby.
And you are.
I've never turned
imagine
down
you could
a bucket.
Podcast by sitting on a bucket the whole time. You never have to get up to use the bathroom. Doesn't matter anymore.
I mean, if I could just sit on a bidet, a toilet with a built-in bidet, yeah, and set up
absolutely
my Zoom shit.
There's nothing there stopping you now from doing that, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, based on the framing, I could potentially. I just put it down, pants around my ankles. Sorry, guys. I am actually receiving a steady cold water stream up my butt. I
you
never
get a heated bidet.
I do have a heated one, but I like it cold.
Oh.
Cold feels cleaner.
You like it to wake you up a little,
yes,
bit.
Yes. I like to wake me up a little. I need, what's weird when it
a little something
my,
to help you get off the bowl. Yeah.
It's weird because when it hits my ass, it steams. And I don't know what that means.
I see. It's like that Simpsons was in Homer tries to eat the chili and it just melts. Cream just melts, yeah, on his hot tongue.
Yeah.
What about you, Randog? Where's your best director?
I'll say Lee Isaac Chung or Chloe Zhao, either one of them. But Emerald Fennell is great too, so embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, any one of those three win, I'd be best actor in a leading role. We got Riz Ahmed for Sound of Metal, Chadwick Boseman for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Anthony Hopkins the father, Gary Oldman Mank, Steven Yeun Minari. Also, I should just blanket apologize
well, going
for
to
butchering everyone's names as I get more and more stoned.
Yeah, it's Gary Oldman.
Dr. Oldman. Gary Oldman
thank
is going
to
win and come up as his true romance character. This is one of those occurrences where an actor who's nominated passed away this year, but it is also lines up with an absolutely balls out stellar performance.
Right. Yes.
You know what I mean? Where it's like sometimes, because I feel like even a lesser performance, you could get the like post.
I agree.
Post,
yes,
more. Like they might, they grade on a curve, I feel like sometimes. The
sure.
Academy. But
sure.
This one is like, I feel
100%
like
deserved.
If only, yeah, Glenn Close died, yes, she'd be a lock this year.
The wife too.
If she's smart.
The wife's
too late. Voting hasn't started yet.
It's a heavy competition because Steven is good in, he's great in Minari. Riz Ahmed's so good in Sound of Metal.
Riz Ahmed's great.
Yeah, and Hopkins is the incredible. Father. Yeah.
Now,
breaks your heart in that move. Devastating.
Anyone afraid that all the 70-year-old white men in the Academy who've known who Anthony Hopkins is for more than a huge chunk of their lives, anyone right. worried that they're all going to just throw some votes his way? I don't know. I feel like it's overwhelming of a...
It's one of those things, too, where part of me feels bad because I feel like Anthony Hopkins also does deserve it. Like, it's that tough thing where it's just like, but like Chadwick Boseman deserves an Oscar for his performance. Yeah. Anthony Hopkins deserves an Oscar for his performance. But yeah, I think there's
Anthony
no
Hopkins
way.
Will be fine. He already has
exactly.
one, right?
I think there's for no way Chadwick Boseman's not winning. Right, and I want exactly. Chadwick Boseman to win. But if Chadwick Boseman had not passed away and Anthony Hopkins had won in this season, I would not be upset either.
Yeah, I would. That would be like a good, you know, a hedge of your bet, because you'd be like, if it's not Boseman, it's probably Anthony Hopkins.
Right. Because then in that situation, you'd be like, Boseman's got several more times up at bat.
Right. Right.
But
Anthony Hopkins, not so much.
Probably not. That being said,
Gary
I want Chadwick Boseman
more than
win.
Boseman. Yes. Though. We should say.
To be fair. True.
Although who knows what they do with face? We'll have. Are they going to be putting faces on other bodies?
Oh, like they're all going to get the fucking Sopranos treatment.
Exactly.
If there's one thing that sucks about being an adult is that you know too much about food and can't enjoy it the same, like sugary breakfast cereal. That stuff was an amazing way to start the morning as a kid. In hindsight, probably not setting myself up for the best day of school. And as I got older, it was a great dessert. But now I'm too old and I can't be messing with that sugary childish cereal. So lucky for me, I found Magic Spoon, which is like healthy, delicious cereal. We got 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. 140 calories a serving. Keto-friendly, gluten-free, important to me, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. So it's got the flavors you want in a cereal, but it's got none of the bad stuff. It makes for such a healthy alternative. And for me, the highlight of that is a little post-dinner bowl of Magic Spoon is like a protein-packed dessert that doesn't spike my insulin and keep me up all night. Or on a Saturday or a Sunday morning and I want to treat myself to like a kind of childish feeling breakfast, I know I can get 14 grams of protein and 140 calories, only 140 calories in a little delicious peanut butter breakfast cereal, which is my current favorite flavor. I was mixing cocoa and peanut butter last time, but now I've been just eating straight peanut butter. I get on these, you know, I have 4 boxes right now of different flavors because I got the variety pack from magicspoon.com/ham. So if you go to magicspoon.com/ham, grab a variety pack and try it today. Be sure to use our promo code HAM, as in high and mighty, at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. You can get yourself free delicious cereal. So remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/ham and use the code HAM to save $5 off. And thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode. The best actress in a leading role. Viola Davis for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Andra Day for The United States versus Billie Holiday. Vanessa Kirby for Pieces of a Woman, Frances McDormand for Nomadland, and Carey Mulligan for Promising Young Woman. This one is a coin flip between, for me, Viola Davis and Frances McDormand. But I did not see Billie Holiday or Pieces of a Woman.
Neither did I. I'm in the same spot.
Okay.
Same.
And I love Vanessa Kirby. I think she's so amazing, but I don't.
Mission Impossible Fallout, we know.
Yeah, and that's what I like her from. And I'm like, so I can't willingly go like...
She was snubbed for that performance.
So I feel like McDormand's going to get it.
I think I don't know. I think maybe Viola Davis. Because has she won before? Did she win supporting for like The Help or something? Did she win before?
She won last year, didn't she?
I have no idea.
I think she won like recently. Like it would be.
If only there was some way to find out.
Only someone.
But we're recording in vans.
No. Yeah, we can't do it. We're all shitting in buckets. We can't. Don't have access to the internet right now.
She won Best Supporting Actress in 2017 for that Doubt.
Oh, we should have had
Doubt. She won for Fences. She's nominated for Doubt, The Help, and Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And Fences, obviously. But she won for Fences. That's right.
Nothing for Fences? Suicide Squad?
Nothing for Suicide Squad. What about Widows? That was cool as fuck.
I loved Widows. Great.
Yeah, I loved Widows.
I don't know. I would say Viola Davis more than Frances because Frances McDormand is also one. And is this anything she hasn't done before in Nomadland? You know what I mean? Is she really pushing herself in this?
I think the narrative that she's like working with the real people.
Oh, what a burden.
And that she lived in her van while she shot. Like
that's like you doing a podcast with us. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that big.
You got real method. Yeah.
Like, is that so hard for you to be the best one in the room? No.
Doing a podcast like with you guys is like going to Palm Springs with Statler and Waldorf.
Heaven.
You're welcome.
And I'm here for it.
My drink's warm.
So well, what would you think about Carrie Mulligan winning? I think she has a shot too.
I think she has a shot. Her like, and this is me too, because like, obviously it's all me. It's
this
subjective.
Is you. Yes,
this is me.
Just you.
I hate her.
You're not speaking for anyone.
She got in a fight with me and Steven Yeun at a party once because me and Steven Yeun are such good friends.
Okay. Yeah.
Now he gets retroactively canceled because I've been saying I'm friends with him. But I don't think Carrie Mulligan. The movie is bigger than the character there, but I think maybe Ma Rainey and in Nomadland, the characters are sort of bigger than the movie there. And I feel like Oscars tend to go, if it's not one of those sweep movies where every category is hitting, Oscars tend to go with like, this character is a real, and those are also like, those are more character studies. I guess, I don't know. I feel like she could, if she won, I'd be ecstatic just for more attention for the movie, but I just don't think her performance was as strong as the other two actors.
I agree with
that. Gotcha.
Also, anything based on a play, I tend to like, people always say they're stagey, but then I always like them when they're like these long real-time movies that take place in like 90 minutes in real time.
Yes.
Like, I am always into that.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't shot incredibly well. It wasn't like pure cinema or anything, but it was still like very enjoyable to watch. Like I'm never going to see the play, most likely, at least not performed by Viola Davis or Chadwick Boseman.
No.
So this was a great way to come.
The pace of movies like this I enjoy too, because they kind of just start like plays just start, and like movies based on plays, like they just start and you're like, yes, we're just like in the fucking movie. There's no like long sweeping fucking, you know, credits.
Here's the neighborhood. Here's
right. Like, you know, I mean, I'm here for that too, but like the positive thing about these and it's like bang, and you also know there's gonna be like some sort of ending. Like
and there's also going to be like a big scene where they're like screaming to the heavens.
Yeah.
Here's this thing I've been feeling for an hour, but I never expressed, and now I'm doing it. And then we're going back to the thing we were doing.
Because The Father was a play as well, right?
It was.
Yes.
So we have
that
two plays.
Been fun to watch.
Yeah, that one would be awesome to see. Man, that movie's like disorienting in the way it's intended
it
to
should,
be,
yeah.
And it's
absolutely.
So fucking good. It, like
and scary. It's like a thriller.
Tiffany and I were talking. It was like, this movie is, you should not watch this movie if you're like at all starting to get stressed about getting older.
No.
Like, I was like, I gotta start doing the crossword puzzle. Just like, as I smoke my 25th joint of the day.
This will preserve my brain, or at least you won't notice as it deteriorates, I suppose.
Or maybe I just like already got my brain to like 55 years old now. So the next like 15 years are just a coast.
You're being proactive. Yeah,
you're flatlining.
shot by Jan de Bont. Best actor in a supporting role. Sacha Baron Cohen for The Trial of the Chicago 7. Daniel Kaluuya for Judas and the Black Messiah. Leslie Odom Jr., One Night in Miami. Paul Racy, Sound of Metal. Lakeith Stanfield, Judas and the Black Messiah.
So, well, the weird thing is Lakeith, everyone's saying he should have been in lead because he's the lead of that movie.
Right.
I agree.
I think so too. And like, I'm going to just project and say like,
please,
maybe those dudes didn't want to be in Chadwick Boseman's category.
Probably.
Maybe, but I know the studio did campaign for Lakeith Stanfield to be leading. That was like for your consideration.
Oh, interesting.
That's weird that they decided that.
Because he is the fucking lead.
Well, they're the ones who was paying for the billboards and the bus ads.
Right.
I'm saying it's weird that the Academy was like, no, we're going to put him in.
Can you believe the Academy got something wrong? I mean, pick my jaw up off the floor.
Mm-hmm. But what is in their interest to go against that wish?
Who knows?
My question. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand that. It's a toss up between those two guys, but I do think Paul Racy could.
Paul Racy.
Like, those are the three. Right. And I think, excuse me, I think Kaluuya and Lakeith Stanfield, both being in the.
It cancels each other.
They kind of eat each other's lunch a little.
It sucks.
And it sucks. And I think that might mean Paul Racy could take it because he also is an Oscar worthy performance. Yeah.
Definitely.
Sacha Baron Cohen, he could do that in his sleep.
Daniel Kaluuya, my favorite performance of his. I mean, he's great in all the stuff he's in, but he's so fucking good in Widows.
He's great in Widows.
Yeah, he's terrifying.
He's so fucking scary.
He could do anything.
He really can.
I think he's going to win, though.
I think he might, too.
Daniel Kaluuya?
Yeah.
I think Paul Racy's going to win. But I don't know anything.
I don't know anything, sure. And it doesn't matter, and who cares, and this sucks,
matter.
And I hate myself, but I think it's going to be Paul Racy.
You added that I hate myself.
That was mine. No, you never said it. You might not have said it, but we heard it. Mm-hmm.
Would I really be doing this if I loved myself?
Yeah. Come on. Best actress in a supporting role. Maria Bakalova, Borat subsequent movie film. Glenn Close, Hillbilly Elegy. Olivia Colman, The Father. Amanda Seyfried, Mank. And Yoo Jung-yoon, Minari. And again, I'm sure I butchered her name. I've never even heard it out loud.
It's Amanda Seyfried.
Coleman.
I would find it hard for anyone but the grandma from Minari to win Best Supporting.
Broken Penis.
She's great.
She's so good. But the girl from Borat is amazing as well. And that movie, but it's just like,
She's good. I think she's a case of like the fact that she got the nomination is the win.
That's exactly what I was going to say, John. That's so funny. I'm like, but I think it's enough.
Yeah.
I didn't
know who you are, and now everyone knows who you are. That is your takeaway. You have many more chances to impress us. But this Minari lady.
Like, sometimes
you,
it's best not
know.
To win Drag yeah. Race, but to be the ref. Yeah. Sometimes it's better to be the runner-up
exactly.
in Drag Race. That way your fans are like, they were wrong.
Exactly. She can really now spin this narrative in her favor. 100%.
Yeah. She's going to be fine.
Yeah, so we're saying it's...
I didn't see Hillbilly Elegy. Couldn't bother.
I mean, poor Glenn Close. I mean, I just...
She's fine. She's Cruella de Vil twice. What does she need?
Obviously. What else? Obviously
she's
lived
a great life.
She's had...
Obviously.
She's had 203 Dalmatians. I think she's going to be okay.
Thank you.
They're all original Dalmatians in each movie?
Yeah, I
guess.
Think, right? Because
she
butchers
them
all.
After every film.
After every
Personally.
Shot.
It's in a writer.
Glenn herself, not Cruella. Yeah. Best animated feature. Onward, Over the Moon, Shaun of the Sheep, Farmageddon, Soul, and Wolf Walkers. I only saw the Pixar ones.
I saw the Pixar's and I also saw
I
Wolf Walkers.
I wanted to see that. I saw the trailer. It looked so dope.
It's much more visually interesting than it is story interesting, but it's definitely visually fun and interesting.
Animated movie?
I think it's going to be Soul.
I think it's going to be Soul too, but I did really like Onward. But it was made for me. It's like
I thought Onward was the last movie I saw in a theater.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
That was its reward.
Mine
that
was Birds of Prey.
Oh. Mine was Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Oh.
That was so good. I wish I saw that in the theater.
I think Wolfwalkers is going to win. I haven't seen it, but I just feel like Onward and Soul will cancel each other out, and no one cares about the other two.
Yeah, I haven't heard anyone talk about Shaun the Sheep and Over the Moon at all.
No.
I guess Raya came out too late, because that was like, that was fun.
Yeah, that's just recently.
Yeah, okay.
Did you pay $30 to watch that?
Yeah.
I have not. Did you?
I think we were saying, I think I kind of cut myself off, no way, saying that earlier, but I was saying like every movie that came out that had like any kind of premiere energy behind it, I just paid for. Like, I,
so you could tweet about it?
Not even, no. Just so I could have the experience of seeing a movie like on its release, like simulate trying to get ArcLight tickets as much as possible.
And also like, well, I'm going to put my phone away and watch this because I paid $20 to watch
exactly.
this thing.
Yeah. And also it's just like, it's the day it came out, feels like watching the Eric Andre movie the day it came out. Like,
yeah.
Just trying to experience that like energy of like,
and a collective experience. Sort of
yeah. And I was chasing it so hard that's why I've seen every movie that came out in 2020.
So far, except for like Judas and the Black Messiah, all these like HBO Max Warner Brothers exclusives have been like, yeah, I'm glad I saw that at home. It wasn't very good.
Right.
You know? But like The Father, I paid $20 for. I really liked it. Barb and Star at the Vista Del Mar. I loved
it.
Yeah,
so good.
Yeah.
That was snubbed.
Was it this year?
Maybe
or is it next
maybe
year? I think it's
next
year.
They'll get it next year.
It'll definitely win next year. It'll definitely be nominated for
starting the momentum now. Yeah.
Start the campaigns. Best adapted screenplay. The Borat movie, Father, Nomadland, One Night in Miami, and The White Tiger. I did
what
not
is
see
Borat
The White Tiger.
Adapted from? What is
Because it's a sequel, so anything that's a sequel is automatically adapted.
Weird.
That's the Oscar rule.
Because
the characters already existed.
It's not an original screenplay.
Yeah,
right, because
these characters already existed.
They do that to Godfather 2?
Probably.
Wow.
Ooh. Ooh.
Like that just wrote itself.
It's still nominated for an Oscar.
I feel like it's
and
not
it's weird.
Lesser
I did
want
to say,
adapted.
I forgot to say though, isn't it weird that actors get like four categories while directors get one, writers get two, DPs get one, editors get one, but actors are four times as more important to the process?
Well, it's because they have male and female. They don't have male, female director. That's
nor should they have for actors, I don't think.
Okay.
Ooh, I like
that's a different argument.
It's still double then, you know? It's weird. They don't do, I don't know, I think they aren't twice as important to the movie.
Right, but there's not multiple, you have multiple actors on a movie, but you don't have multiple directors.
Oop, therein lies the rub.
So you have different actors doing different jobs. And like, it makes sense that like, oh, you
acting
judging
gets
someone
one
for the
slot,
size of their...
Writing gets one slot, you know.
There's okay. Spoken like a real
you are,
writer.
You, like
there's multiple writers.
Not a producer, because people want to see the actors win awards. Not
you're right,
the,
John. We
not
are
the
not
editors.
Producers.
We are not producers. I think it'll be The Father. Nomadland obviously could potentially win it too, but I just think The Father was like a stronger...
Right.
Like, it's
Nomadland's
it's a
like
more,
sparse.
Yeah,
if you told me the screenplay for Nomadland was 30 pages, I'd believe it.
Right. And also it's you imagine she's reacting with real people, like not to take anything away from the I know script got them to wherever they got to, but The Father had like great dialogue and it was like tense and
so constructed.
Went all over the place.
Yeah,
so constructed.
I agree. I think I could see Nomadland winning just out of a sweep sort of feeling happening. But right. I would not be upset, certainly, if The Father won.
There might be a Nomadland fever.
It could happen.
What do we think about the Amazon? Some people were very upset that they felt Nomadland presented Amazon in positive light.
Ooh.
Well, because there weren't people actively getting injured in the movie, I guess, while working at the Amazon facility.
See, not enough blood.
Because I thought that they were conveying, like, these people work in Amazon and still can't afford houses.
Yeah. I don't think anyone watches that movie and thinks like, well, that's a great place to work.
Right. I think they're saying it's like they're clearly not providing everything they should.
It's the same.
Employees.
Like working at Amazon is the same as like being a janitor at like a state park. It's
right.
the same.
Yeah.
Best original screenplay. Judas and the Black Messiah. Minari. I should probably say the writer's names here. Judas
too many.
And the Black Messiah. Yeah. Screenplay by Will Burson and Chaka King. Story by Will Burson, Chaka King, and Kenny and Keith Lucas. I would like them to win for Best Original just to see the Lucas brothers on stage. But Lee Isaac Chung for Minari, Emerald Fennell for Promising Young Woman, Darius Martyr, Abraham Martyr, and Derek Sean France for Sound of Metal, and Aaron Sorkin for The Trial. I think Aaron Sorkin's going to win, and
you
I
think?
Don't think
no
he
way.
Should.
I don't think he's going
to
win.
I feel like he's one of those guys that people just give it to, that people vote like people vote for.
He's already won, though. Right? Like, who cares? I don't think there's any passion.
I agree, and I don't think he should win, but I think there's a good chance that he will win out of a sense of obligation. I would probably give it to Emerald.
What are we
Fennell.
Obligated to Aaron Sorkin for? What has he done for us?
People feel fucking, that way.
Old people love Aaron Sorkin. Yeah, they raised on fucking West Wing.
The West Wing?
The fucking liberal Hollywood loves West Wing.
It's a fantasy.
Taught them
film.
How to masturbate.
The West Wing?
I think Promising Young Woman, it would be a great, that because that's a great
I think
start.
That might win. I think that might be its Oscar.
If you're
you know
like
I
leaning
agree.
In, if you're leaning into the word original too, like Promising Young Woman is a very like that's a story that hasn't been told before.
Wouldn't it be fun if it was most original screenplay and it's just like deranged ramblings of people, you know.
This not
a literally
word,
had no idea.
Not a legible yeah. word is spoken aloud in this movie.
But we've never seen anything like it. So
it's arguably not a movie.
Man in trash can.
All right.
But that being said, like if Minari won or Sound of Metal won or
sure.
just Black, I'd be super happy.
Yeah, anything but The Trial.
Exactly.
But I think that probably will win.
Yeah, and I'm scared of how much of a chance it has. Okay.
Oh, and the speech he would give. Oh, well, you're talking about wanting to put a barrel in your mouth.
Best original song, Root Beer. Fight for you. In Judas and the Black Messiah, the H.E.R. and Dernst Emil II lyric by H.E.R. and T.R. Thomas. I don't know who. Hear My Voice in the Trial of Chicago 7. Music by Daniel Pemberton. Lyric by... Oh, these are original songs. That's why I don't recognize any of them. Husavik, the Eurovision Song Contest song. EOC and... Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
EOC scene.
Sure.
The Life Ahead. Speak Now. One Night in Miami.
I thought, like, Fight For You, Hear My Voice, and Speak Now are, like, cliche Oscar original song titles.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They're always done by, like, Melissa Etheridge over, like, a global warming documentary, yeah. you know?
Definitely that.
It's like, those, I also only know the Eurovision song, so I'm going to give it to Eurovision. That was the best song.
Yeah.
I listened to them all earlier, and I think I agree with your assessment. Fight For You, Hear My Voice, and Speak Now especially are all very much, like, kind of the same song, almost, I would say.
We gotta rise up and make a stand.
They're more mid-tempo jams than that. They're not quite as, like,
not
aggressive.
A Joe Cocker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it's going to go to IOC scene, The Life Ahead, because it's the Diane Warren of it all, if nothing else. Because
we like, feel obligated to her?
She's, like, been nominated, like, 17 times or some ridiculous number. I don't know if it's that many. But she
I
has never won
shocked.
One yet.
Is that a good... What is that movie? The Life Ahead.
I have no idea, but I listening to the song, it's one of the things you're like, oh, this was Celine Dion passed on this. But the Italian Celine Dion is the woman who sings it.
It's available, yeah.
Yes. The song is to Celine as a loaf of bread is to Celine.
Exactly. She's like, is it My Heart Will Go On? No, thank you. But it is that. Like it's like, oh, Diane Warren thought, imagine Celine Dion singing the song.
That's why I want Eurovision to win, because that was fun and different.
That was, and I
genuinely
enjoyed the
good.
Song. A good yeah. song, yeah. And most original song? Potentially.
Thank you.
Is it the best?
Best original score. To Five Bloods, Terrence Blanchard, Mank, Trent Reznor, and Atticus Ross, Minari, Emil Mosseri, News of the World, James Newton Howard, Soul, Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross, and John Batista.
I was hoping Defy Bloods would get more nominations over.
Me too.
Delroy
Lindo. Delroy
Lindo,
exactly.
Yeah. That
was sad. I thought Delroy Lindo should have been
nominated. That movie was fun. I wasn't expecting it to be fun. I thought it was going to be like heavy, but like it goes everywhere.
Got to be both. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like every genre at once. It's great.
Yeah. It was like a weird, like reverse Dead Presidents, but like
alive.
A reverse Dead Presidents, yes.
I did listen to the Minari score again. Because I saw they have it in the trailer, the score. And as soon as I saw the trailer the first time, I was like, what is this music? This music is pretty great. It's incredible. He's the same guy who did the music for Last Black Man in San Francisco, which is also an incredible score.
Great score.
So
I didn't see News of the World. I don't even think I know what that
is. I watched the first 20 minutes of that. And then
loved
like,
it.
Don't need it. Yeah, I was like, it's too perfect.
It's like, I'm going to watch the next 20 minutes on my next birthday.
Exactly.
Yeah. It'll treat myself.
I'm giving myself.
I don't want to waste it. I'm going to watch it over 3 years.
When this ends, I'll be so sad I have to prolong it.
Trent Reznor, twice. Two and Attic double nominations.
Yeah, those guys are good, though. They're a go-to score Spotify.
He's a long way from Starfuckers Incorporated.
Yeah, I'd say he's come a long way from fucking me like an animal.
Thank you. I played that song. I was listening to that song when I was younger at home, and my mom was home, and she listening to Closer, and she's like in the kitchen cooking. She's like, "Ugh, they only swear to sell records."
She wasn't wrong.
True. She wasn't wrong.
I think Soul might get it because you got two heavy hitters.
Two different scores. And that score, both scores were great.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then John Batista's music legend. So, I feel like that's a good exactly. win.
Spread the wealth.
All right. Best sound. I'm not going to read everybody's name. Sorry, sound.
Wow.
That's, I know.
See what I mean? Read all the actors.
Exactly. This order was your idea. Greyhound. Didn't see it.
Didn't
Mank,
see
it. News of the World. Didn't see it. Soul. Sound of Metal. If there's a movie
sound
that you want best sound.
Yeah, it definitely needs to be Sound of Metal.
Also, all the people, it sounded good on my TV. You know?
Yeah.
Not exactly ideal circumstances here.
Right.
The sound, these people are like pulling their hair out, like designing the sound mix for like an impeccable theater. And we're listening to it on an iPad.
Yeah. Someone said too, someone pointed out that Sound of Metal is like a closed captioning. Like the name of the movie is something you read in closed caption.
Oh,
which is kind of cool.
Like in the Snyder Cut, it's like a disgruntled grunt.
Yes.
Things like that.
I like the Snyder Cut.
I was at it, watched it in one sitting.
Will I watch it again?
One
sitting.
No.
No, I will. No. I will watch just those Amazons with the hammers one more time. Maybe
one more time. And it's already in slow motion, so you don't have to wear it.
Yes. Oh, I know. You mean at 28 minutes and 60 seconds? No, I don't know the time code.
I wish they'd hammer my mother box.
Yeah. Shatter me like a fucking pillar, please. Sound of Metal for that. Best costume design. Emma, Mank, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Mulan, or Pinocchio. I didn't know they made a live action.
I didn't know there was a Pinocchio.
I sort of was in and out. My husband was watching it the other night, and so I saw a bunch of it.
Fun night at the Flynn House.
And he wouldn't let me in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm watching through the screen door.
I can hear a lot of it from my car.
Huh? I saw the reflection on the window.
I watched from underneath the door. You watch an HBO movie when you were like eight.
It was unnecessary. I would say that. They said they want to be grittier about it.
Oh.
Which is what we all wanted, a gritty Pinocchio.
Finally. I would say the Mulan costumes were really exciting, but Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, the costumes are period costumes. They look great, and clothing is sort of like weird plot lines in that movie.
Right.
So yeah. I feel like when the wardrobe is that important, part of the narrative, I feel like that helps people choose to vote
up,
for it. Yeah. Since shoes are a big part of the movie.
Thank you for once.
Not since Wizard of Oz have shoes been so important. Yeah, I'd be happy with Ma Rainey's. This also, it wouldn't surprise me if Mank won
Yes.
No,
Mank,
God.
But I wouldn't give it to But I wouldn't give it to Mank.
No. Just old
Mank
somebody
can take it from my cold
store.
Dead hands.
Yeah.
Just 1 hour of being stoned around Mark, and now I'm shouting my taglines about all these movies. Best animated short film. I haven't seen any.
I saw
of
Burrow.
These.
It was on Disney Plus.
Oh, maybe I did see Burrow.
It's
see
fine.
Burrow, genius loci. If anything happens, I love you.
Oh, I saw that. That's depressing. That's about like a school shooter.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Very different from Burrow, animated, which is about fun rabbits.
Opera and Yes People.
If Burrow had a school shooting plotline, I would say give it to Burrow, but it doesn't.
So you think it's going to happen, the school shooting?
I think it'll give it to If Anything Happens, I Love You. It's like a really depressing like Hallmark card. Like it looks like watercolors, you know?
How long is that?
It's like 7 minutes.
Okay.
Oof. It's on Netflix.
I'm going to try to watch all these, the shorts.
Boot it up. You're going to have a great time.
Best live action short.
Sure.
I'm sorry, John. Did you see any of these? No. I didn't see any. Oh, yeah. Feeling Through, The Letter Room, The Present, Two Distant Strangers, and White Eye.
By the title alone, which one would you want to see?
Well, just by knowing that Trayvon wrote Two Distant Strangers, I'm going for him.
Great. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is, but you love saying just a first name.
Sure.
That's what his Trayvon Twitter Martin? Handle is. No. Trayvon Free.
So the Twitterverse likes that one.
Yeah, he's like a TV writer, creator on Twitter who's a great follow. And he's like a giant bisexual man, I believe.
I'm interested.
Well, in that case, he gets my vote. Two Distant Strangers.
Maybe
it
we could be two less distant strangers. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's solve that distant problem first, because then the stranger problem coming right
it takes care of itself.
Cinematography. Judas. Sean Bobbitt, Mank, Eric Messerschmidt, News of the World, Darius Wolski, Nomadland, Joshua James Richards, The Trial of Chicago 7, Fadon Papamichael. I'm going to go with Nomadland.
You got to give it to Nomadland.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great, like a National Geographic. I thought Mank looked like shit.
I thought so too.
Why does it look like video? It looked bad.
It was like kind of difficult to see.
Yeah, and watch.
Yeah.
And that one, he knew it was going to Netflix, so he doesn't have like the whole, well, I want it to be in a movie theater. You know, like
right.
He doesn't even have that excuse that a lot of these people are landing on. Best documentary feature, Collective, Crip Camp, The Mole Agent, or The Mole Agent.
Thank you.
To be safe. My Octopus Teacher and Time. I've only seen Octopus and Crip Camp.
I can't get into Octopus. I didn't want to watch it. I just saw like the thumbnail. I was like, I don't want to see this guy messing with it. Leave the octopus alone. I don't know what's going
it's
on.
It's a great, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But I haven't seen three of these movies, but my vote is for Crip Camp, and I just watched it like yesterday. And
Crip Camp's
the only one I've seen, and I would give it a vote. I think it's great.
And again, to jump back to previous things, like it's lefty politics, it's hippies, it's like
the Obama produced documentary,
a political thriller. So it's like there's like it scratches a few itches of things I like in cinema.
Sure. If only there was like a hot babe doing like weight work, like lifting free weights.
Doing weight work, yes.
If only one of the counselors at the camp for crippled people was a six-foot woman with quadricep definition and a giant fucking mace, I would be. Yep.
Now that's a camp.
Yeah.
Now that's camp. Save that for your show, guys.
Thank you.
I really like underwater footage in general. So like it just works. It's beautiful. And my octopus teacher.
You're going to love my Ted Kennedy documentary.
Yeah.
Oh, you start at the end. Huh?
You start at the end. Work our way backwards. It's kind of memento it. Mm-hmm. We're going to memento it.
It's all right. Thank you. We got that set up for memento.
Write down the missing woman's name on his leg. So I'm gonna give my vote to Crip Camp. Rennie, have you seen any of these?
I haven't seen any, but I think Time is going to win.
Okay.
What's making you say that?
Because Time always wins.
Time's always
wins. The Oscars.
Take it from me, honey. Time always wins in the end.
I don't think anybody cares about this guy and his octopus. I think Time is about, like, you know, current things happening in the world. The justice system and all that
stuff.
Sure,
okay. So yeah.
I'm going to try to watch all the documentaries.
I hear Collective is good.
Collective is also nominated for Best Foreign Film, I believe, too.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So, Time is about trying to get someone out of jail. who's been doing time.
Serving.
Makes sense.
Serving time. Best documentary short. I saw none of these, but Colette, A Concerto is a Conversation. Do Not Split, Hunger Ward, and A Love Song for Latasha.
Is Do Not Split about going to like a restaurant with eight people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's about, it's
a documentary.
The trials and tribulations of servers dealing with large parties.
Sure. Now I'm interested.
Harrowing.
Or is it about conjoined twins? I don't
do
know.
Not, that's written on the back of their heads.
The tag, yeah.
Okay, best film editing, The Father, Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, Trial of Chicago 7.
I mean, I feel like we always talk about like editing is like, it's only... You only notice it when it's bad, generally.
Right.
Typically.
You're like, great editing is like seamless.
But the thing is, it gets a little weird though, because like also sometimes you lean into a movie that you think has more editing.
Right.
Or because like for me, I want to say The Father because the editing is such an integral part of the storytelling. But I think that's right. True of every movie ever made.
Right. So,
but I do feel like editing is part of the thing that keeps you on your toes and keeps you disoriented in The Father. So my vote will be for Yorgos Lanthimos.
Okay.
Fair.
I do like the idea. Nomadland was also edited by Chloe Zhao.
That's fun. Right. I like when that happens.
It was like one vision.
So if she doesn't win the director, maybe they'll be like, but no, don't worry. We give you editor.
Yeah,
like,
we got hey, you, Chloe.
You. Yeah, and then the Oscars is all bragging. First Asian American woman to win editor. It's
like I don't think there's anything to brag about. Yeah.
Just in time.
Is this like the 90th ceremony?
You guys have a swing here for a best.
I'll say Sound of Metal.
I think The Father, I think it's going to go Nomad. I think for some reason, I think Nomadland is going to like get a lot of these. Like there's going to be a bit of
a lot of
sweep.
The technicals.
Yeah.
I can see that. Best international feature, Another Round, Denmark, Better Days, Hong Kong, Collective, Romania, The Man Who Sold His Skin, Tunisia, Qual Vadis, Aida, Bosnia and Herzegovina. I'm getting too high and the words are getting harder. I told you we should have done the other order. I watched the first hour of Another Round, so that gets my vote.
And you loved it?
Yeah.
Did it make you want to have a drink?
And I haven't been drinking, and it is making me want to have a drink.
It's triggering. Maybe it's that last hour where it's like, oh, this is like,
yeah,
he just shat out his liver.
Life lesson, you know? Yeah. But I think because it's Mads Mikkelsen, it could pierce American pop culture more, you know what I mean? Like it
sure.
Might, like more right. Than
all those Rogue One fans.
More of the definitely. Academy might have seen it.
I haven't seen any of these. I'm interested in The Man Who Sold His Skin.
Yeah, just off title alone.
Is that on Craigslist?
It's about a it's about the Nirvana Unplugged conversation concert.
I see.
Best makeup and hairstyling. Emma, Hillbilly, Ma Rainey, Mank, Pinocchio. I could say it could go to Hillbilly, Ma Rainey, or Mank here. Because they just go like whichever ones have the most makeup and hairstyling going on.
But also
well, Pinocchio
they never,
did
like,
have a ton of stuff. Like the effect of how they made the boy look was impressive.
I said this last year, like they don't give like special effects makeup the dude.
It should be its own category. Right. You're right.
Not that anything came out last year that could have like had
stunts should and
thank
casting,
you
and casting
and stunt casting
and stunt casting should be yes,
definitely
given out in the technicals.
Yeah. That would be a Rudy Giuliani and Borat too.
That stunt as well, by the way. Best production design: The Father, Ma Rainey, Mank, News of the World, and Tenet.
I love the apartment in The Father. Like, even though it was like really sad and depressing, I was like, this is a great apartment.
Yeah. Oh my God, it would kill for that apartment.
Fuck right? Yeah. And it's.
I like how it changes throughout the movie. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Never get too bored.
There's always something happening.
I could see Mank taking it because, you know, it has a lot of shit going on in it. But also, Tenet.
No.
I love the design of Tenet.
What did it look like? Everything's cement in hallways.
I know, but that's a fucking choice, baby.
It's like a high-end, everything looks like a high-end parking garage.
Yes, yeah. I love it.
No, it's boring.
Brutalism, industrialism, deal with it, baby.
I don't want to deal with it.
Best visual effects.
Okay.
Love and Monsters.
Now we're getting to it.
The Midnight Sky, Mulan, The One and Only Ivan, and Tenet. I've only seen Mulan and Tenet.
So you didn't see, I would have thought you would have seen, I saw The Midnight Sky. There's
is that
some,
the Clooney one?
Yeah, it's not very good. And you guessed the twist about like 30 minutes in. Let me tell you.
No, I'm going to watch it. I'm gonna
it's stupid. But there's like some great like zero-G blood work. I was like, that looks really good.
Ooh,
but other
that.
Than that, it's like typical, you know, I guess they did it like they shoot the like polar stuff like they do, what do you call it? Mandalorian. Like it's in one of those like volumes.
Oh, I love okay. that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you watch The Making of Mandalorian? That was very enjoyable. Because when you said the volume, I was like, okay. Homeboy.
Okay. I subscribe to ILM's YouTube channel.
I think Tenet will probably win that one.
I don't think so. Yeah. Maybe.
There's not.
I think it'll be like, there's a way in which I feel like they want to be nice to, what's his name?
Why? He's been such like a nightmare this whole last year.
I guess because he was always like fighting for like the theater experience.
Yeah, but during the pandemic, he was fighting the wrong fight.
I don't disagree with you, but I also feel like, but he was fighting for us. I think there's a way in which they're going to be like, we're sorry that your movie was screwed over.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
The backward stuff looks cool. The backward stuff looks cool at points and stuff too. And
yes, but who cares? It doesn't mean it. It's like looking at a tech reel. It's like, okay, yeah, I guess that looked like it was hard to do, but I don't give a shit. Like when the building blows up and then it doesn't blow up. Okay, yeah, sure. I don't know what I meant to feel when I see that. It doesn't mean anything. It still just looks like a Call of Duty. Who cares?
Well. That's Mark Rennie's thoughts on Tenet again.
I keep going backwards and forwards with it.
I was going to say, rule of sevens, when it comes up again, we might as well wrap up the episode. guys, Queens, two old Queens, thank you so much for coming on. Queens, excellent work this week. Sound like
thank
a host
you.
Of a,
thank you. Thank
a coach.
All right, Queens. Hands in. Everyone did all right. I'm an Australian
very
coach
nice.
In that moment.
I like it.
Thank you, guys. I am not going to watch the Oscars. I'm not going to.
Good.
You're not?
I mean, I'll probably DVR them and then.
Don't watch them. I never watch
speed
them.
Through.
Speed this through. Is like my only Oscar tradition, doing this show with you.
Oh.
Someone always wants to
gosh,
watch
you get
the
shushed at one Oscar party and you just turn into this dark cloud of a human being.
I'm sorry. Would you
never
want me at your Oscar party?
Whatever.
Would you want me at your Oscar party?
Of course.
Would you want to come to my Oscar party?
Yeah. No. We're not watching this. Or we'd watch performances from like the 80s, like the 80s Oscars.
That sure. I would rather watch.
That wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Ryan Stanger has turned me on to watching old, like Leno.
Award shows?
And, like old talk shows with
like the Dancing Ito?
Yes. Watching stuff like, no, like watching old Arnold on.
Oh, that's fun.
Shit like that. Like
have
Arnold
you seen
on Letterman.
Steven Seagal on Arsenio when he says the government created AIDS?
No.
You gotta
not
look.
Yet.
Yeah.
In about 30 minutes, that will be accomplished.
I will have definitely seen it.
The crowd gets really silent. Arsenio's like, okay.
Yeah, that's how theirs should get. Better than ooh, ooh.
Right. He's saying what we're all thinking.
Yeah, Arsenio's thinking Emmy clip.
All right, guys, why don't you tell the shitheads? I mean, I'm assuming the shitheads know about your podcast right
they
now.
They better.
I can only hope.
Let's fucking plug away, fam.
We got a podcast. It's called Two Old Queens. We guest brings in a movie and we judge it on a complex and Byzantine scoring system on how gay it is. We also got a Patreon.com/Two Old Queens if you want to give us
yeah, if you
support
want to
us.
Listen and give us money. The Two Old Queens the retirement plan. You can do that.
I love the name of the Patreon, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's working.
Follow these guys. Yeah. Yes. Mission accomplished.
We almost have enough money to buy our shit bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are going to retire like Nomadland, but we do have enough now.
Two shitty vans. All right.
Follow these guys on social media. They'll be tagged in whatever posts come out. And Also, this episode will come out before 420.
Oh,
and
right.
You guys will also, that's what a reminder I had for myself, and I just remembered, thank God. You guys are also going to be a part of the 420, the High and Mighty first annual 420 Mega Sesh.
So exciting.
I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm excited.
You guys don't know what it's going to be?
Yeah, as I'm saying, that also is kind of where I'm at right now.
Oh, you're hoping we would tell you what it's going to be?
Yeah, just like this episode.
No, weed content is being shabbily produced.
My intention is I'm going to hopefully do a bunch of short episodes of High and Mighty.
Got it.
Like, and then you'll get an email about it, but I'm pretty sure we're going to do a bunch of mini episodes of High and Mighty with different stoner previous guests, and then consume weed in some way to get that kind of match each other and get on, or match a strain or something like that and get on the same vibe.
You're going
to
be destroyed, wow, buddy. Are you going to be awake?
You guys want to go
last?
How
long is this going to last?
Yeah, right?
You guys want to go? I need friends to go last so I don't like burn.
Sure. Whatever you need, whatever you need.
I need guys who already, for some reason, don't hate me to be my.
Yeah, if there's a way we could bring Gatorade and orange slices somehow to you.
All we have is we're going to turn the music down for you. Okay. Oh, thank God.
We're just going to change the vibe a little bit, but like in a really cool, chill way.
Thank you. I'll need it. But yeah, so get tickets to the 420 Mega Sesh. The tickets are in my bio, but you can also go to onlocationlive.com/Gabrus420 and get them there. And these guys will be there. Go fucking join a Patreon. Exciting. Join their Patreon, leave the Action Boys Patreon, join the Two Old Queens.
Wow.
Or get both. or leave the Two Old Queens and join Shadow Wolves.
There you go.
Honestly, fuck their shit buckets. I'm struggling here. As always, I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Thanks for listening, shitheads. Do you guys do a goodbye? Can we end on your goodbye?
Sure.
Sure.
All right, thank you.
Goodbye. That was a HeadGum podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow,
someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!